Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Microsoft Teams is helping a bicycle company reinvent the way that they work.
We make bicycles for everyday riders. Once the pandemic hit, we started doing virtual visits.
All of a sudden, we could open up our showroom to customers around the world.
Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Hey everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast for Wednesday, October 21st. Jeff Erickson here. My co-host guest today is a RotoWire alum, our good friend Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm. You listen to Howard on SiriusXM Fantasy all the time, and you used to be able to read and listen to him here on RotoWire. Howard, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing real well. Jeff, I got to be honest with you. I am totally sweating my chances to win this week here in week 7. Can I give you my entire roster and then my opponent's entire roster, and then you tell me what my chances to win are?
Only if you ask me lineup questions to go along with that there, too, and a life story. For those of you not up with the reference, we do a silly little segment called Chances to Win on Monday. It's part of Raw Emotion Monday. And, you know, it's just a chance to get interaction. It just started off as just as a lark, and it's grown where people call in. They say what they're, you know, who they have left, who their opponent has left. What the difference in the score is. Don't tell us the score. Don't make Chris List do math. Just tell us the difference. and if there's PPR or standard or anything like that, and we'll give you a precisely calculated chance to win. And of course, it's just on the fly and it's fun. It's goofy. And we get tons of calls.
Yeah.
Hundreds of tweets every week. It's amazing. It's a silly little fun segment. We're not splitting the atom here. The best part is people telling us, hey, this isn't really a precise percentage. What are you doing that's any different than Yahoo? Nothing different. It's a silly segment. We're having fun with it. Just roll with it. But, you know, we get too many. We cannot possibly – we could do a two-hour chances to win. We really could fill it up. It's without a doubt. But we always conclude the segment with, okay, if you don't get your question answered here, fret not. We'll send you to X. And Howard's got a reputation for answering all of his Twitter questions from people asking fantasy questions. And so we're like, well, let's send them to Howard this time. And that was funny. We've sent it to POTUS. This week we sent it to the Billy Joel channel and told him to sing the question. You know, of course, we had to haze in Evans when he joined in right after us. Hey, fade the noise. We'll answer your questions. And it's just all good fun.
Yeah, you sold me out, Jeff. You guys sold me out. And I mean, literally, I'm still getting them right now. Like, you know, it's like, what are my chances?
Because you answered all of them. Everyone else just blows it off.
But see, you know, the funny thing is that nobody understands what I'm saying with it. They're like, I'm down 6 points and I've got Julio Jones and he's got Kenny Golladay. You know, what are my chances to win? And I'm like, well, if Julio Jones outscores Kenny Golladay by 6 points, your chances are pretty good, right? I'm like just basically giving them the exact response, you know, that they just asked me. I'm not even giving them an answer. And and they still keep coming. So I payback for you and Liz coming at some point.
I did the pie thing last year, and I got double pied, by the way. So I feel like I was just paying back what's paying forward. I don't know, something like that. But, have you guys – I don't think you've done the pie bet this year. I don't recall seeing it on Twitter, at least.
No. You know, you always got to look for what the next gag is. Okay. And, you know, it's just, you know, one of those situations where – you know, this year with everything being so crazy and COVID and you know, all sports back at once, it was really tough to kind of get those creative juices flowing for football because we were already trying to recover NBA and MLB. And so it just kind of fell to the wayside a little bit. We keep throwing out a couple of random bets. The new one right now, which I actually just lost to Jen Piacenti, and her podcast co-host Jerry Ferrara is a bobblehead bet, and they beat me in a DFS contest last week. So now they get to pick the body, but it has to be my head on the bobblehead that they get to have as like a mantle, like a trophy mantle piece.
Mm, okay. Interesting. That could go a lot of different ways.
It's a little pricier, but yeah, when you start seeing a bobblehead of me with Wonder Woman's body, you know that's what's going
on.
You'll
never be able to unsee it. Now, you can just, you know, it took two of them for to beat one of you. So you just that's small consolation. You still got beat, I suppose. But I don't know. But oh, good. I'm glad. We got lots of news to cover here. So let's whip through some of this. Big one for me was Michael Thomas, Howard. You know, coming off the bye, hasn't played since week one. Supposedly he was going to play before the bye, but, you know, got punched a teammate out. Earning Chris Liss's forever respect, but he wasn't participating in the open part of practice today for the Saints. You know, high ankle sprains can be a pain. There can be relapses. Are we worried about this?
You know, on a Wednesday, no. You know, it doesn't really bother me that much. You know, you get a guy like Michael Thomas, and, you know, we saw this with Megatron for years. You know, it was like if Megatron, or even now Julio Jones, as long as they show up for a full practice on like a Thursday or a Friday, then you feel pretty comfortable with it. You know, Wednesday tends to be that day that a lot of veterans take off from practice. So, no, I'm not really that concerned about it with Thomas. I mean, I'd be more concerned with just the state of the Saints, really, than whether or not Thomas is going to be able to deliver for you.
Yeah, they haven't been the juggernaut that they were expected to be. And, you know, got beat pretty bad by the Packers, I thought. They didn't get beat bad, but they didn't stop the Packers. The defense wasn't what we expected, and that was the thing that kind of caught my eye. And they just even like the Chargers game, they had to come back from a big deficit, aided by Anthony Lynn's decision-making at the end. And, you know, they got there, but it could be a lot better.
Yeah, their pass rush seems to be a little bit on the weaker side. I don't think Marshawn Lattimore is fully healthy. And then if you look at, you know, their corners on the other side, I mean, Patrick Robinson, he has his moments, but I mean, I'd say he's probably average at best. And, you know, PJ Williams, that's a guy who I like to target against in DFS every week. I mean, that dude is just god awful. So, yeah, I mean, it's not the Saints defense that we saw last year or the year before. And I mean, it's burning a lot of people.
It is. We'll stay tuned for more on Thomas. I anticipated him coming back full bore this week. I had him at number three in my rankings among wide receivers. You guys can check that out, as always. We all have our rankings articles, but mine's the Value Meter. You can check that out.
I love the Value Meter.
I love it and hate it all at the same time. It's my 17-week ball and chain, but I do love it. I love that I've been doing it for a long time. And sometimes there's some good back and forth. Sometimes people will ask question that's answered right there in the rankings, but without arguing about it. You know, if you want to argue about it, fine. You know, especially if you got a reason behind it and all that, that's great. Don't tell me like Howard's got him ranked 7, you've got him 3. Why the difference? I don't know.
Well, I'll tell people this flat out. You can ask me about my rankings all you want, but if I'm stuck on a play, I'm gonna go check out the Value Meter. I'm gonna see where Jeff's got him ranked, and that's a trusted source for me.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you. Yeah, so another guy, Julio Jones, you mentioned him earlier. He had coming off a huge game against the Vikings. you know, that was the thing. Kind of got burned because he had the setback in the Green Bay, the Monday night game. So I took this hamstring thing a little bit more seriously. I was a little bit more circumspect. He had like one practice on Friday, but he went off. Now I'm kind of like, all right, he's fine again. But he didn't practice again today. Another Wednesday injury, Wednesday practice issue, I guess, as you were saying. Probably do the same regimen as last week or something close thereof.
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's kind of what we're looking at. It's another nice, super soft matchup here going up against Detroit. So, yeah, I love having Julio Jones on seasonal rosters. And then in DFS, as long as he's cheaper than Calvin Ridley, I mean, it's really hard to pivot off of him, especially if you're talking about a cash game, like a double up or a 50-50.
Right.
I might pay up for Ridley as like a quote-unquote contrarian play. But, I mean, Julio is a guy that we love, that we can trust. Dirk Cutter is happy to have him back now. At full health, Matt Ryan is ecstatic about it. So
it's night and day difference with Ryan. If he has Julio, he's a healthy Julio, it's a completely different offense.
Yeah. So. Push the chips all in.
Yeah. Mm. Both sides of this game, too, for that matter. I know that Minnesota came up small last week, but I'm telling you, I still like Stafford. I still like Golladay, and I think I like DeAndre Swift. It's hard to trust Matt Patricia in terms of workload, but now they've kind of unleashed the Kraken. I think it's hard to, you know, go back and not give Swift that work.
Well, see, and that's a kind of a sticking point for me right now because, you know, I mean, Adrian Peterson still saw a good amount of work in that game. And then the question is, you know, in this matchup here, will they ride the momentum with Swift or will they simply fall back to where they were and limit his usage? Like that, I'm deathly afraid. In seasonal, especially with bye weeks and injuries and the state of the running back position, you know, Swift is a no brainer for me. I'll put him in my active lineup, and just let the chips fall where they may. For DFS purposes, I sit and I worry about that because it is so hard to trust, you know, Daryl Bevel and Matt Patricia to continue to do the right thing when you still see them giving all those touches to Peterson.
Right. And moreover, you know, it's just, you know, you're not going to get him at the same cheap price that you got him last week either.
No. And so, no, you're not. The trick is to find the new DeAndre Swift for this week.
Yeah. Do you have an answer to that, Howard?
You know, I'm kind of looking at Joshua Kelly.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's an interesting thing. And I'm sure that there are other people who are kind of on this. You know, it's almost in that same realm of the, you know, the Julio versus Calvin Ridley contrarian play that, you know, Justin Jackson, everybody seems to be on Justin Jackson and they're like, oh, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the guy. But if you're Anthony Lynn and you've already got Justin Herbert there under center, don't you want to come off the bye week and really see what this kid has? Like, don't you really want to, you know, give him that confidence booster? I mean, nothing's a better slump buster than playing the Jags if you're a running back, right? So if you want to, you know, reinstill confidence in this kid with the fumbles and stuff like that, don't you give him a bigger share of the pie than you do to Justin Jackson and kind of get him jump started for the rest of the way? Because a report came out today saying that Austin Eckler is much later than sooner for his return. So why wouldn't you give Josh Kelly that, you know, that kind of extra look and maybe hope that he works himself out of it?
It's a good question. It's a good question. I'm actually I'm biased on this one because I'm a Northwestern guy. So Justin Jackson, ball carrier, is like who my guy would want to be. But looking at the usage from the last game, Jackson would be the presumption. But you're right. There's some logic to it there. And if they do build that lead, That's the game flow. That's the scenario you're looking for.
Yeah, 100%. So Kelly's probably going to be, you know, a nice little GPP play for me this week, kind of like Swift was last week. So that's where I'm riding it right now. But, you know, I might throw Justin Jackson because of his price tag also, you know, into a cash lineup or two.
Sure. And that's the thing is they are both cheap. Jackson is actually cheaper at 4,900. Kelly's on DraftKings at least. Kelly is 5,100. Swift is 5,400. None of those guys are all that expensive, but options to turn to there. And you mentioned the Eckler news. I'm glad you brought that up because he is the quote, later rather than sooner, is not what you want to hear. But that's the thing. Sometimes you saw him go down. I mean, it was immediate. It was visceral. You could tell that this was not just a run-of-the-mill hamstring injury. This was a tear. This was, I mean, not all strains are tears. I get it. But this was more than just a little tweak. This was pretty bad. And it was also hyperextended his knee in this. You know, we're looking probably maybe week 10, for all I know. It could be later. Who knows? He's technically eligible to return in week 8, but it doesn't look like it's anywhere close to that.
No, it doesn't. And you have to stay protected from that. I mean, listen, we're seeing here, you know, Christian McCaffrey could be a few more weeks off. You know, these high ankle sprains and soft tissue injuries, especially if it's a severe one like Eckler, you really have to be careful of that. You know, you saw, Raheem Mostert come back a little bit early and already he's down again. And now you have to worry about that situation. When you're dealing with these guys and these injuries, I think that the teams are just better off, you know, erring on the side of caution. I mean, you know, there's no reason to rush McCaffrey back. This isn't a team that you expected to go very far or into the playoffs or anything like that. And Mike Davis is killing it right now. So you do have to watch some of these injured guys coming back and really whether or not they're going to make the move, because a lot of people keep trading for these guys. And I'm like, I don't really know if I would that right now.
Yeah. The more I do this, the more I tend to subscribe to the Scott Pianowski play, you know, bet the over on the injuries, take the pessimistic route. You'll miss out on a guy returning early every once in a while, but for the most part, you're going to be happier about it.
Mm-hmm.
Avoid that trouble. Because you're going to get other injuries, by the way. Why introduce more?
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari America, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Speaking of...
Pee now!
Yes. Speaking of which, Deontay Johnson returned to full practice today after missing last week's game with a back injury. But his teammate, Juju Smith-Schuster, did not practice. It's listed as a knee, but it's usually also couched as a Veterans Day off. But I got to ask you, Howard, if you need a Veterans Day off every Wednesday, it seems like there's a little more smoke with that fire.
I don't know what's going on with Juju. I mean, I mean, if it's the knee and if it's really been hampering him, a lot of the way, well, I mean, I wish we had known more about it, right? I get it. Time of COVID and beat writers aren't as involved with the teams as they used to be. But for crying out loud, do your job, guys. Give me some sort of information, some sort of insight into what's going on. So if Juju's being hampered by a knee issue, I want to know. I need to know what's going on here because, yeah, I think that it's crazy. You know, we talk about a lot of these veterans who, you know, are hitting the age of over 30, like Marvin Jones and T.Y. Hilton and Julian Edelman, and these guys are all falling off a cliff. Yeah. Juju's 23 years old. You got to give me more explanation as to why he's not even seeing targets right now.
To me, it feels a lot like the OBJ situation last year, where, you know, okay, he would get those Wednesday days off. He'd be listed as questionable, but he's going to play. You know, this started in the preseason, last week of the preseason with that sports hernia, and they either misdiagnosed it or he was just strong. He said, I'm going to play through it and all that, and he was clearly compromised, and I feel like this is almost a similar situation.
That bums me out. It bums me out for all those people I've told, you know, just hang on to Juju. I wouldn't give up on him just yet. Well, now I'm ready to eat some crow.
Yeah, well, I mean, you only go with the information you have, right? I have him at 37 among wide receivers this week, hanging out with Jarvis Landry, Michael Gallup, and Greg Ward.
Ugh. Oh, gross.
Yeah,
ugh.
I know.
Oh, Jeff.
It is gross. You know, behind Christian Kirk and Tim Patrick. Still gross.
Where is Travis Fulgham in all of that?
34.
Oh!
Now, Fulgham got his late against the Ravens. There was a lot of catch-up in that one there. He struggled early on. Well, they struggled early on. The whole team did. I wonder, does James Bradbury focus on Fulgham? Or who does he, or is it Greg Ward? Or is it DeSean Jackson coming back? Who does Bradbury cover? Because I'll go after the other guys.
Yeah, oh, I agree with you. I think that, I mean, he's got to go after Fulgham, right? I mean, he has to. I mean, if that's the guy who Carson Wentz seems most comfortable with at the time, I mean, I kind of feel like that's necessary. You know, I mean, D-Jax, he's a one-dimensional player. So, you know, if the other corner just doesn't give him, you know, doesn't get burnt by him and you don't, you know, worry about, you know, press man coverage against him and you know, float a safety over there, then you can put Bradbury on Fulgham and just take that out of the equation. Maybe it turns to Greg Ward on some shorter passing, you know, across the middle. But I mean, I kind of feel like that's the direction they need to take. But I mean, again, it's the Giants and that's hot trash too.
Yeah. And you know, It's weird. They don't even have Zach Ertz to shadow. I mean, you can't even throw that in there.
Oh, God, what a bum he's been. How about that? There's like a little conspiracy theory going on there that Ertz has basically taken himself out of the equation by complaining about his contract.
I mean, it's been an ongoing thing, and then he hasn't produced. I mean, it's easy to connect those dots, but you know, He might just not be. I don't think you fake an injury. I don't think that's a good way to get paid in the offseason. But it's pretty clear that this is kind of done as far as him getting a big contract from the Eagles. But then I think that was always the case. I don't think that, you know, and absent him just going crazy this year, I don't think that there is going to be this push to sign him. You know, Goddard's there for a reason.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Somebody was asking me, you know, who's the tight end you want rest of the season, Ertz or Goddard? And I'm like, you gotta have to lean Goddard here, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You definitely do. Got more COVID news here, Howard. I know you love this just as much as I do, but the Raiders, Trent Brown is going on the COVID list. They sent the entire five starting offensive linemen home today to do some contact tracing. Because they've all obviously been around Brown. It's a starting offensive line. But this is kind of a big deal. And safety Jonathan Abram also sent home. So, you know, I was already bearish on Josh Jacobs for this week because of the matchup against the Bucs. You take away an offensive line, you know, if you take away an offensive line, the game doesn't happen. But or at least doesn't happen this week. But, if you take away one and the rest of it's kind of fringy, I mean, it's kind of scary.
It's really scary. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I've had to keep updated on that. Just got so tired of answering all these, you know, what if questions with COVID that I started a COVID update blog over on Fantasy Alarm.
Oh, yay. That's exactly right? What you're hoping to do.
Right? Yeah, oh, I love it. I love it. I mean, I'm basically just, keeping tabs on the whole thing because, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, for a number of reasons. I mean, obviously, if the game doesn't play, that's huge impact in the fantasy community. It's huge impact in the betting community also. You know, I play in the Westgate Super Contest every year, and I have to keep tabs on the COVID situation because it's like, all right, well, is this game going to be taken off the board? Do I not even get to look at it? Or if the game is going to be played, you know, what's the status of this team? You know, it was like everybody looked at the Patriots last week and they were terrible against Denver. And everybody's like, well, you know, 2 weeks, two practices, all the COVID stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I get that. And that definitely makes sense. But then how do you explain the Titans with, you know, all of their COVID issues? And, you know, it was more marquee players for them. And it's just, yeah, I hate keeping up with this, but I'll tell you, I mean, if this game plays and these, you know, in the Raiders offensive line, let's say they lose more than Brown, they lose, you know, another guy or two. If that game still plays, well then, I mean, all the more reason to go against the Raiders.
Right. You know, I mean, we saw what happened with the Cowboys and you take away their starting stalwarts on the offensive line.
Oh, but that makes me feel good because it's the Cowboys.
Well, yeah, I get you on that. I get you on that. appreciate that. But yeah, what a mess. What a mess. And, you know, the Raiders have already had their bye week, too. So this game, for whatever reason, you know, if this game does not happen, not for whatever reason, if for this reason doesn't happen this week, we're definitely adding a week 18.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. I don't think, at least. And if you do that, guess what? That's one less fantasy game, because you're never gonna, that's never going to happen. It doesn't exist in our world. It just only exists in the NFL.
Very problematic. Very problematic indeed. And I mean, listen, you know, we know that the NFL has that contingency. They're trying to balance it as much as possible that they don't have to go to the week 18 or even the week 19 plan too, I've heard is being worked on as well. So this would be a huge bummer if the Raiders end up having to miss this one. But again, like the NFL pushing so hard for them to stay on track, right, it wouldn't surprise me if they said, well, that's what you got a practice squad for. Better get those backup linemen out there.
Yeah, as long as it's not Tennessee level, and I think they're going to go. I just fear it becoming college, though, where you're getting 20 guys on a team all of a sudden, and you're seeing cancellations left and right. It's just cost of doing business in college football right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you have to look at the location. You have to look at the, I mean, Vegas is, I mean, we saw, you know, everything that was going on in Nashville. I mean, they were doing, you know, all sorts of concerts and stuff like that. People there, rallies, no masks. And I mean, it was just flirting with disaster. So that you kind of expected that kind of an outbreak. You know, I mean, I haven't been to Vegas since COVID, but I can only imagine that once they opened up the floodgates, that anybody and everybody is flocking back to Vegas and not really caring about their personal safety.
I think that, you know, and I think they closed some of those gates back up, but we'll see. You know, and the thing is, you flock to Vegas and then you go forth and disperse. And that's the worst part about it, too. I mean, you know, you take it back home to your neighborhood after you get it there in Vegas. That's the best part. All right. Happy talk.
no matter what happens in Vegas, it doesn't stay in Vegas anymore.
Yeah, that is true. They got rid of that slogan for a reason. Okay, we talked about this before starting to record. And news came out that the Seahawks are interested to positioning to make a push to sign Antonio Brown, who's eligible to be reinstated from his suspension after week 8. This is from Adam Schefter of ESPN. At first, I thought it was 8 weeks after he signs, but apparently he's serving that now, and he'll be eligible to be reinstated. He's not guaranteed reinstatement. What's your reaction to this?
Ew!
Strong reaction there.
This, I mean, listen, it bums me out. I mean, clearly Antonio Brown is somebody who needs to seek help. Like, he needs professional help. There's no way that a human being acts the way he does and expects to you know, yield positive results. You can't act the way he did and then turn around and just expect that, you know, everything's going to be, you know, happy-go-lucky if he goes and he signs with Seattle. And I can't imagine that, you know, Pete Carroll or anybody in Seattle is looking at it saying, I mean, can he help you on the football field? It's possible. He's been out of the game for a while, but it is still very possible that he can help your team. But the question is do you want that headache? Do you want – like, I mean, let's say he signs with Seattle, right? And Metcalf and Lockett are still the 1 and 2. And Russell Wilson is just – he's used to throwing to the guys. And all of a sudden, Antonio Brown is seeing maybe like 2 or 3 targets, 4 targets maybe. And when he's used to the double digits and he's used to being the focal point. And tell me he's not going to be, you know, yammering about getting me the ball and stuff like that. So, you know, it really – to me, it kind of – you know, his presence upsets the apple cart more – then it helps your team.
And from a purely selfish standpoint, I've got a lot of DK Metcalf in my life this year. I don't want that balance knocked off by any for any reason at all. I've got Metcalf in five leagues. I do not want that changing. He's been very, very good to me. He's had his bye. Let's get it on. Let's get back to being awesome. And don't want anything upsetting that.
Did you just channel Chico Escuela?
Not on purpose.
Oh, that was good, though.
Oh, thank you.
That was tight.
Appreciate it. Where do you have Metcalf rest of season?
Where do I have – you know, I mean, I look at Metcalf as a must-play top 10 fantasy wide receiver week in, week out. I mean, it's just I love what he brings to the table. I think here's a kid who can, you know, he's physical enough to go across the middle. He's physical enough to push off of press man coverage. He's fast enough to beat coverage downfield. I've always been a big fan of him. It was like Metcalf and Ridley are the two guys who I was just gobbling up this year as much as I possibly could, because I believe in both of them firmly. So, you know, Metcalf to me, you know, here's a guy who will see 8 to 10 targets a game and produce game in, game out. The rapport that he's got with Russell Wilson has been fantastic. You saw last year how it kind of tilted off of Tyler Lockett, that Metcalf was really more of his number one. And, you know, yep. Like back in the days when it was Doug Baldwin, now it's DK Metcalf. So I'm all in on him, easily a top 10 wide receiver. Could probably finish out the season in the top five as well.
Yeah. My friend Chris Towers from CBS had an interesting sell high thread on him last night. And, you know, we had Chris on the pod about maybe 6 weeks ago talking about and he was talking about, you know, he's an interesting sell high target. You know, he's averaging 22.5 yards per catch. I mean, it's pretty crazy. It's unreal numbers. It's better than like Pete Granny Moss numbers. So yeah, you regress some, but regress to what is always the question.
Well, that's the thing. But you also have to look at it. You know, one of the things that I have a hard time, like in baseball, we can quote stats and we can look at numbers and talk about, you know, regression to the mean. You know, football is so much more matchup based, you know, and yeah. So you look at Seattle's schedule, you know, in the coming season. And the question I have to ask is, you know, why would you want to sell DK Metcalf when, you know, okay, Cardinals this week, Niners the week after that, then the Bills, okay, and then the Rams. Then you got, you know, when you go, start eking closer towards the fantasy playoffs, Cardinals, Eagles, Giants, Jets, Washington, right? Like, I mean, he's got Washington in week 15 of the season. Yes, here.
Very critical week.
Jets 14, Giants 13. I mean, you can't tell me that you want to get rid of DK Metcalf before any of that happens.
Right. You know, it's funny. They have not played a single divisional game yet. We're in week 7 of the season, and this week is their first divisional game, which it's kind of interesting. But, you know, I'm with you. I think he's a top 5 wide receiver the rest of the way. You account for some variance, even with some regression. I think that's the case. You know, but Antonio Brown signing would probably change my opinion on that, because that would necessarily cut down on his targets eventually.
I would be so upset with Seattle. I really would. What a lame duck move. I mean, it really is. You know, I just ugh. That bums me out, Jeff.
Have a take, Howard. Stop equivocating.
Well, you know, I like to just, you know, kind of ride the fence and see which way the chips fall before I make a decision. But
could work. It might. Couldn't work. Could not work. You know, possible. Oh, were we underrating Arizona's defense going into Monday night? Are they legit that strong, or is it just a case of Dalton and the Cowboys' offensive line coming up short?
Strictly Dalton and the Cowboys coming up short. I mean, the offensive line was terrible. Zach Martin went down. I mean, look at the Arizona team. They also, I mean, they lost Chandler Jones.
Yes.
And they had like three linebackers who were banged up and not at 100% as well. to me, this was just a total mismatch. And you know, when you hear the rumblings that the coaching staff and the players aren't gelling in Dallas, and it's a different, you know, it's a different way. You know, they're not being taught, supposedly. But Mike McCarthy's like, you're in the NFL. I shouldn't be teaching you this. This is stuff you should know. These are basic things.
Yeah, so things are going swimmingly there.
Things again, with Jim Bowden as my co-host on Sirius XM, I relish in all of this.
Schadenfreude going on there. Yeah, I like it. It's like me mocking Liss at the Giants, or him with me at the Bengals. Although that's like low hanging fruit at this point. Yeah, you know, you and I, we really do root for sad sack franchises with the Jets and the Bengals. I mean, it's tough. It's tough, and you know it going in. It's going to be tough. You're looking for that reason for hope.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm rooting for the Jets my entire life. It's always been bad. It really has. I mean, it was bad in the 80s. I mean, we had the sack exchange, and that was entertaining. We made it to the AFC Championship game once that decade. But, you know, I mean, to me, I mean, at least, you know, with the Bengals, you had the Boomer Esiason years. You had the Super Bowl years. I mean, it was like, you know, all of a sudden, you know, there was a little bit of life to you guys. You guys have Joe Burrow. You guys are building something right now. So,
yeah, that was a pretty big gap, by the way, from Boomer Esiason to Joe Burrow. But,
well, I mean, you know, as big as the gap is between hopefully Trevor Lawrence and Joe Namath.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. You know, the last time the Bengals won a playoff game was the 1990 season, 30 years ago. Now, Andy Dalton took them to 7 of them, and you know, he and Marvin Lewis combined. They lost every time in their first playoff game.
Pretty amazing. At least you had the playoffs, Jeff.
Two-year Jets in some cases here, Howard. And to Bill O'Brien, which is just as bad.
It's more humiliating than anything else, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. We don't need to get into a who suffers more contest there. I usually save that with my Buffalo and Cleveland friends. But, you know, there's a lot of bad, you know, all the Rust Belt teams and the Jets. You know, Bills, Colts, they're fine. Bills, Lions, Bengals, Browns. Ugh. Somehow Pittsburgh avoided all that. Well, I know, you know, Pittsburgh's had 3 coaches since 1969. Think about that for a second. Just, it's a remarkable difference in continuity. I guess, you know, we complained about Marvin Lewis hanging on for so long. Can't complain about a lack of continuity in one hand and then ask for him to be fired on another. So I get it. I mean, he's a good man, was a good coach, and dug the Bengals out of a super deep trench, a Marianas trench, if you will, but couldn't finish. He just got to that one level, and that's as good as it could get. We'll see you this current regime. The verdict's still out on Zach Taylor. We know it's not out on Adam Gase. It's just a question of when, right?
Well, they're not going to do it in season. I've talked to some people about it, and it just – the fact of the matter is, I mean, if you fire him in season, then you've what? You're promoting a Gase disciple, basically, as the interim coach, and then you're just kind of flushing out the season the way it is. You don't want to bring anybody in from the outside because you're saddling them with, you know, complete trash, and you're not giving them really any kind of a fair shake. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, Jeff, what would be the absolute best way to send Adam Gase packing and looking for another job, but to saddle an 0-16 season on him also?
Yeah.
To go and try and find new work after just the debacle that his coaching tenure with the Jets has been.
Yeah, I don't think he can make a worse case anymore, absent like getting more people hurt like he did in the Thursday night game. I mean, that's about, you know, that's about the only harm that he could do even worse, is forcing injured players to play through injuries or something like that. I mean, other than that, I think his reputation is sullied enough. But yeah, we'll see.
You'd like to think so. I don't know. I haven't looked at Michael Salfino's Twitter timeline recently.
Oh, yeah. I haven't either.
He's a Gase truther for some inane reason.
I love Michael.
I do too.
But I, yeah, sometimes, yeah. And the thing is, you know, he's also a Mets truther too. So at least you can break, you know, you don't have to break bread with him there. You're not a Mets. You're not a Mets guy, are you?
No.
I didn't think so. Yeah. You're a Yankees guy.
I'm a Yankees guy, yeah. Although I don't really want to talk about that now either.
Yanks and Jets. Usually it's Yanks and Giants, Mets and Jets. But you broke that somehow.
Fortunately, it's probably the only good thing my dad's ever done for me was, you know, because he grew up in Queens. He was a Jets fan instead of a Giants fan. And, you know, when I was born, he was still, you know, he was rooting for the Yankees because he was going up against his dad. He took the opposite turn. You know, dad was a big Brooklyn Dodgers fan.
Ah.
And so that's the Mets weren't even around when he was like establishing his allegiance. So he went against his dad, sided with the Yankees against the Dodgers, and then obviously then had the Jets to play around with. So
sure.
That's how it happened.
Oh, good to know. All right. And now you know the whole story. And, you know,
riveting.
I grew up in Ohio, got me hooked on the Bengals and Reds, and you know he doesn't even follow the Bengals anymore. But yet somehow I carry on this legacy cost somehow. How does that make sense? But here we are. All right, a couple other things I want to talk about. Like looking forward here, you know, a couple other guys want to ask your opinion about. How worried are you about Zeke Elliott going forward? Is he still a top three running back? Forget the fumbles for a second, but the offensive line woes are sufficient enough for me to worry that he may not get, you know, those huge truck-like holes to run through that he got earlier on in his career. I'm worried about him.
I'm very worried about him. It's a huge, huge problem. And we saw this last year, you know, even in just with a little bit more of a minor situation when Tyron Smith went down. And all of a sudden, they weren't getting that push off the offensive line. So, yeah, I'm definitely worried about Zeke. I mean, he's still an incredibly talented guy. The fumbles, I'm not worried about. That's, you know, something that's, you know, easily rectifiable for him. He just needs to get out of his head. But, yeah, I just don't see that I don't see this line opening up those running lanes for him. I mean, you're going to have to do a lot of outside zone running. And teams who have fast linebackers and edge rushers are going to be able to counter that relatively easily. So, you know, like Zeke is a guy, if you're in a redraft league, I'd be more than happy to try and trade off.
Zeke Elliott or Aaron Jones the rest of the way?
Aaron Jones.
Zeke Elliott or Chris Carson the rest of the way?
Ooh, I think I'd probably stick with Chris Carson.
Interesting. Interesting. And, you know, Carson's catching a lot more passes this year.
Yeah. That's something
that we like about that. 21 for 140 and 3 touchdowns. And, like, real routes at times, too, not just these little dump-off things. James Conner or Zeke Elliott the rest of the way?
Oof. I think I'd probably lean on Conner, too.
Yeah, so he's significantly down for you. Interesting. You know, it's funny because I talk with Liss, and he's not quite as down yet, but we'll see. I mean, the thing is, losing Kevin Martin on Monday night changed that entire game, especially to happen in that game. Probably made it worse, but I don't know. Something to chew on there a little bit there. But I hate to keep on harping on Dallas, but it's just when one of your mainstay like stacks or mainstay offenses season long, if you build it that way, it's really frustrating to kind of deal with it that way. Look at wide receivers. This is a great wide receiver week. There's a lot, you know, after there's some weeks, you know, you're like, I love him, but he's got a really bad matchup. I don't feel that way about too many of these matchups. Julio gets Detroit. Doesn't scare me. DK Metcalf gets Arizona. There's a lot of these where I'm just pretty excited about. But Amari Cooper is a guy that seems to be, forget Amari Cooper because we've talked enough Dallas. I don't want to make this a Dallas podcast. let's go instead. Let's talk a little bit about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Talk about Mike Evans, who got 2 targets against the Packers last week. Now that Chris Godwin's back, are you way down on Evans? Do we think he's less than 100%? Where do you have Mike Evans the rest of the season?
That's definitely a tough situation. Coming into the season, we kind of expected Godwin to fill that Julian Edelman type role. But I mean, that's not really that's not the type of football that Bruce Arians likes to play. Now, I'm sure he's obviously tempered a lot of things to tilt towards Tom Brady. But, you know, listen, I think that, you know, Brady to Evans, we saw worked well in the beginning, and Brady is getting more used to you know, looking downfield. You know, when he was with the Patriots, everything was, you know, short, high percentage passes, let them get yards after the catch, you know, march down the field methodically. That's not Arian's style here. And he's, you know, mixing and matching, you know, what Brady's been used to plus what he wants to do. So I think you're still going to see a number of shots downfield to Mike Evans. I think once his ankle is healthy and Godwin's there and these guys are practicing in full, I think that, you know, it's going to be perfectly fine. I'm not down on Evans at all. You know, I mean, okay. Listen, do guys have a bad week? Sure. But am I going to hold it against them? No.
My concern is, like, he used to be Mr. Air Yards, and he's not this year. Even, you know, earlier in the year, you know, he got hurt early on, and he's been playing through stuff all season long. So I think that's part of it. But I think also part of it is Brady doesn't like to throw downfield as much. I think he can. I think the arm strength is still there. But I'm not convinced that that's what he likes to do by design as often.
No, because, I mean, again, that's what he was used to in New England. That was just it. So I think, you know, I mean, it's a little bit of retraining himself also into trusting to air it out a little bit more. You've got these receivers who have these great hands, who have good size differentials over some of the corners. You have to kind of take those shots downfield as opposed to just trying to methodically march down the field. So, you know, a little bit of retraining for Brady. So that's why I say, you know, here in the second half of the season, as he gets more comfortable with Arian's style, you know, I think that'll kind of help the situation.
All right. Very good. One last question. Going to go running backs again. We're going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. Raheem Mostert is out, probably going to go on IR. He hasn't gone on there yet. He does have a high ankle sprain, though. Most likely will be placed on IR. Who is the San Francisco running back to have?
I mean, right now it's got to be McKinnon, right? I mean, you have to like the usage that he saw when Mostert was out before. Tevin Coleman's still not ready to come back. Jeff Wilson, you know, I mean, the funny thing is you look at Wilson. He had that great first game, but, you know, McKinnon had a great game that time too. And the game flow really just said, Wilson is fine. The right. game after that, McKinnon had all the carries and all the touches, and we didn't see Wilson at all. So, right. you know, I think as long as Jerick McKinnon is healthy and Kyle Shanahan is comfortable with him, I think that's what we're going to see the majority of. So, I mean, even when Tevin Coleman comes back, McKinnon's just a better pass catcher. He's got better speed. And I think that's just something that Kyle Shanahan likes. He likes the pre-snap movement. He likes the, you know, getting the running backs involved in into the passing game. I think that's what's going to be. So for these next 3 weeks, while Mostert is out on IR, I'll load up on McKinnon. And maybe depending on what the matchup is, if they've got like a super soft matchup 1 week, maybe I'll look to Jeff Wilson in a DFS contest, but going to stay on the McKinnon train.
All right. Very good. Hasty was available. Jamichael Hasty was available in a couple of leagues where, you know, it's a pretty deep league, like 14 team leagues. I threw a couple of shekels at him. Hopefully he gets he gets some of the work and Wilson doesn't come back. Otherwise I'll just have to pivot to someone else. But, the thing is you can't ignore the Niners running back situation. Shanahan's such a good coach when it comes to developing a run offense that if there is someone that gets a good portion of the runs, it's worth it.
Yeah. I mean, if they, you know, because Shanahan does like to rotate the backs in, he definitely does. I hesitate with a guy like Jamichael Hasty just because, I don't know, maybe when the public gets really on a guy, then it just causes me to completely shy away from him.
That contrarian impulse. I like it.
I feel like that's just, you know, the way it's really kind of been in a lot of situations. You know, there's like, you know, there. Remember in week one, Miles Sanders was out for the Eagles, and everybody was like, Boston Scott, Boston Scott, Boston Scott. And he was so chalky in seasonal and DFS. And what did he do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, you know, there's a reason that Jamichael Hasty didn't make the original team.
Right.
And now he's up with the team. Why? And it's strictly because of injuries. Does that make him, you know, still, does that still make him a good play? And I hesitate on that.
I can appreciate that. Boston Scott versus Alexander Mattison. Who can tell the difference? But no.
Come on.
You know, Mattison, actually, I'm not even blaming Mattison for that one. He got game flowed.
Totally. That was Cousins threw three picks in what, like the first quarter?
Oh, it was vintage bad Cousins. It was a lot like the game where Minnesota killed people in Survivor hosting Buffalo like 2 years ago. Remember Buffalo was, you know, 0-3 and some people were thinking they were special bad. And they jump on them like 17-0 within like 12 seconds of that game. That's what this past week seemed like again. They just have this unique talent, Minnesota does, to looking really awful. And it's mostly Cousins, but it wasn't only Cousins. The defense didn't show up either in that game. Even special teams was hideous.
Yeah. Well, they don't really have a defense. That defense is trash.
They tried to revamp things on the fly, and it hasn't taken so far. Howard, what do you got going on at Fantasy Alarm? What should people look for over there?
Let's see. We just a ton of stuff going on over at Fantasy Alarm. You know, we do these daily live stream shows now every day at 3 p.m. Eastern. We've been doing them for a little while. We're starting to pretty things up a little bit and you know, really structure it a lot more. So, you know, you get, you know, specific times for you know, Monday and Thursday night football previews. You get waiver wire on one day. You get DFS preview another day.
Right.
And so those are going on a regular basis. Obviously, the show at Fantasy, you know, on SiriusXM, Jim Bowden and I, you know, constantly 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern. And then Adam Ronis and I, we do a podcast together, the Anti Up podcast. And that's a Monday through Friday one. So you can get that one on Spotify and iTunes.
Fantastic. Howard, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me, man. You know I love coming back to my RotoWire roots.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Anytime, my friend. Follow Howard on Twitter at RotoBuzzGuy and listen to him on SiriusXM Fantasy. All the good stuff there. Thanks again for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. Coming up tomorrow, we got John and Mario. Stay tuned. Thanks for listening to RotoWire.